Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today we are joined by Scott Pollock, who is an ADM regional manager. Scott came to USA Hockey after serving as the head coach at Bowling Green University, which is his alma mater. And this October, Scott will be inducted into the Bowling Green Hall of Fame. So, hey, Scott, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us today.
Well, great to be here, Harry.
Well, you know, Scott, we've been focusing these podcasts on the American development model, the various ladders of development, and I know that across the country in the various conversations that we've had in past podcasts with whether it's Kevin McLaughlin or Roger Grillo, you know, we were talking about, you know, a lot of people just look at the ADM as might and cross-ice hockey because that's where a lot of the emphasis has been focused, at least in the early going. What do you think has been going on, and how do you think everything has worked in incorporating the ADM at the might level?
I think you're right on as far as the, you know, the thought process that's out there. I think what we're really trying to explain now, and due to the fact that we've spent a lot of time in these first 3.5-4 years of educating on the 8 and under and what goes into the 8 and under portion of the American development model, but we're really also trying to, you know, get the explanation out that the American development model is a comprehensive initiative, a development initiative for all of our age groups. And I think the 8 and under is the start to it. And what has happened over these first few years at the ADM is we've seen tremendous results at the 8 and under level with the players who have gone to the model and working primarily on a lot of movement, a lot of skills, a lot of small area games, lacrosse ice hockey. We're just seeing obviously a development in terms of players loving the game and they're really getting after things. We're also seeing some good growth for the programs and good retention numbers for the programs who have started with the implementation early on.
I also know that while, you know, we'll continue to focus a good deal of energy on continuing to provide kids who come into youth hockey with a solid foundation at the might level. And I know that cross-ice hockey this year will start with the rule or playing rule that all might hockey will be played cross-ice. What's your thought about making that kind of like a uniform across-the-board policy?
I think with the standard of play coming in now here with this coming season, obviously we want all of our athletes, all of our boys and girls to get the reward and get the benefit of playing under the rules that really make sense for that age group. I mean, clearly that's that cross-ice, half-ice format that just makes the game more enjoyable and certainly more developmentally sound for all of our athletes. And we want all of our young athletes in USA Hockey to have that benefit. But if we continue to educate the coaches who are out there giving us all the help and the hands-on, we're just going to see some tremendous results from all of our players. So obviously, we want to have this going on nationally. So once again, all of our participants can really benefit from it.
And you know, Scott, like we talk about kids coming into might hockey, I mean, we're giving them a good foundation, and obviously it's a lot of fun. So hopefully you're instilling the passion in the game. But now we're moving on. When we start talking about squirt hockey, 9 and 10 years old, in what is called the golden age of motor skill coordination, how does the ADM or how does an ADM program look at the squirt level?
In my mind, one of the most important transitions that our athletes will make, and I think you hit it on the head as far as getting our young players off to a great start and keeping them as active as we can and moving as much and developing that passion by getting them closer to puck at the 8U level and learning the basic understanding of the game is the hockey puck and to be able to do a lot of important things around the puck and the skill, the confidence to go along with it. And by getting those younger players early on, the ability to be around the puck and see the good things that can happen with it and get confidence with that. Again, because that 8-under is getting them off to that start of being around the puck and moving as much as possible. But now the transition that we get into from the 8-under to the squirt hockey at 10-under, a real important transition is going on. I think what we have to understand, as we mentioned, this is the now with the learning the training stage, or as you mentioned here, the golden age of skill development. Our coaches need to understand, even though we're going from a smaller ice surface and competition to a larger ice surface, the key of all this is skill development. And as parents, as hockey leaders, as coaches, we need to make sure and demand that our kids are in that environment, that we are working primarily on skill development. So what that means in practice is getting an element set up, keeping the station-based practice. What we learn, we've got so much information now on how much more our players can take in when the practices are being run, ideally. And the key look that you'll see for squirt hockey is that the practice, or the content of the practice, is more practices, a 3-to-1 practice-to-games ratio. But then what goes on in practice becomes so important. And the primary focus of the practices have to be skill acquisition. So getting players in small areas, being around the puck, making puck decisions, but ultimately learning all of the skills that are made for a quality skilled hockey player. And that's what's really, really the key focus at the squirt level.
And so you touched upon it briefly, but so this is an age where you're moving and kids are now playing full ice hockey and making the transition to the black puck. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. So now, as we move forward again, out of the 8-and-under level with the blue pucks and the small ice, the cross ice or half ice games, now we get to a black puck and we get to a full ice game. But the important, again, the focus here has to be there can't be any focus on slowing kids down or coaching them away from the puck or getting them in any environment in practice or games that's going to get them away from a puck. A system is not important at 10 years old. Skill acquisition is extremely important. We know that this is, as we mentioned, the golden age of skill acquisition. That's so because this is, in long-term athlete development, the most prime time when a young athlete in all sports can acquire skill. So in our sport, we need to make sure that they're around the puck in practice as much as possible. They're doing creative things with the puck. They're learning how to receive pucks, where to go to receive pucks, in terms of how to move the body, how to handle, and all these types of things, again, that are going to help an athlete, help our hockey athletes really become skilled in a skill environment, so that when they do move to an age down the road, when they'll be around in that 15, 16, 17, where a system will become a little bit more important, they'll have the skill and the understanding to go along with it.
Well, I think it's important, you know, to stress what you just said, and you hear that all the time from people, and that is, you know, why are you teaching a 9-year-old a system rather than, you know, a breakout pattern or whatever, when, you know, teach them how to make that first tape-to-tape pass, which is ultimately what a breakout is.
Yeah, and that's right on. And what we want, what we're really looking for, right, number one, is to acquire those skills that's going to make that function. So the ability to pass a puck clearly and to receive a puck cleanly, those things are really, really important. But I think the other thing that comes into play with all this is to cognitively start letting these young players figure it out that they have to go and understand where to go to receive that pass. They know if a player is going to be in their way, they have to move slightly to be able to create a clean path that the puck's not going to get deflected or knocked away. So we want our players to be able to figure that out on their own, but also to be able to have that skill base to handle the puck, to move around the puck, to be able to make these plays that are going to make everything much more easier as they continue to develop as a hockey player.
Is that a hard thing to drive home that point with coaches out there? Because you start to think, you know, you're getting into squirt hockey, you know, you're playing more games, you're playing against the rivals, so to speak. And is it hard to drive home that point, you think, that it is about still skill acquisition and the rest of this stuff will all fall into place?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, the most important piece here, and we want everyone to understand, when we're out and we're talking with coaches, the responsibility of the coaches at this 9 and 10 years old should be the development of all their players and to try to focus on when they start the season and when they end the season, have all your players gotten better? Have all your players developed their skill base? Again, keeping in mind that that is the key component at this time, skill acquisition. The golden age of skill acquisition is there for a reason. So have you as a coach, if you put your players, all of your players, in a position to be more skilled and to improve as the season goes on. So what we're trying to do is to make sure we're coaching people around the puck, not away from the puck, for basically the outcome of a hockey game. We want our players to be around the puck and do confident things with them. Ultimately, here, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that skill is going to win out here in every situation. The more skilled we are, we're going to have a much better overall quality base of players.
Well, we only have time for a couple more, Scott. You touched upon something that I know is also paramount within this age group, and one is roster size, and the other is equal playing time. Just wanted to get some of your thoughts on both of those issues.
Well, I think it's really important is we continue to try to get the change in culture that we're trying to get much more better practice to games ratio. If we can get that 3-to-1 practice to games ratio, it's really going to help us out. We get more players able to more puck time, be able to do hockey related activity. I think it's really, really important. But what happens is now we're looking at putting our players in the situation when we do get to a game that they actually do get an opportunity to play as much as they can. And a lot of times with our larger rosters at smaller ages and obviously less period times, players won't get an opportunity to go out and actually play a hockey game as much as we'd like them to. We're looking at a situation to create more teams with less players so that players can really play when they do get an opportunity in a game situation. And everything coming together, that they're practicing more, they're becoming more skilled, they're getting the game, they're doing more better hockey things in a game, and a whole formula is just moving up the ramp here to a really skilled, confident hockey player who really likes what they're doing.
Couldn't agree more. Well, hey, Scott, that's about all we have time for today, but I want to thank you for taking the time to join us, and hopefully we can talk again real soon.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Always good to talk hockey.
And thank you to everybody out there for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Please tune in again next time when we'll be talking more about the American Development Model.